Harihi Om Tat Sat. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Jaya Guru. Jaya Guru. I was speaking yesterday about the place of Guru, the need for Guru, equally the place and need for the scriptures. Why don't you think in a very simple, open manner? Why do you go to a guru? The first point is, without being instructed, helped and shown, a child will not be able to speak, walk, even eat. In the human world, every little art and process and habit are always taught, imparted by the elders. In Akbar's time, I think he experimented whether a child would be able to talk if he is not initiated into it and he does not see the mother and the father talk. A child was being breastfed by the mother and she was told, you should never speak to the child. She would come, feed the child and go, again come. No word was spoken to the child at all. Months and years passed, the child did not talk at all. Unless the child hears a sound, how will it know that there is something called sound? And speaking is no other than sound, where our sound we can hear. So don't complicate matters. And why such a discussion at all is necessary, not as a question, but understanding, you can say, what should be the attitude towards the Guru, how does the Guru fulfill a great unique role, etc. This can be inquired into, but not as a question. You want to reach a destination. You are not very clear about the route. When you start travelling by foot or by a vehicle, will you not stop and ask where is that place? When I went to Ernakulam, Cochin, for giving the talk, Dharma, indispensable for societal welfare, Vishwambaran was doubtful as to where it is. I said, you stop the vehicle and ask. We asked two or three times. Suppose we did not ask and we have a misroute, then what happens? We would have been delayed for the program. So taking the help of another is always a necessity. There is a lot of technology in the West. If we were to evolve our own technology, then it may be 50 or even 100 years. That is why we see collaboration. We are carrying on with three cars, Ambassador, Fiat and something else, or only two. How many years we were carrying on with this? When the market was open, beautiful cars have come. I am always surprised, our car runs for several kilometers. If you put your hand on the bonnet, there is no heat at all. When we travel in an Ambassador, we have to open the bonnet, aeration should be allowed, etc. Why is it that India was not able to produce? Even now perhaps it may not be able. And what is the harm in taking the technology from others? I don't think we should be unnecessarily indigenous and unnecessarily delay our progress. So in every sphere of life, somebody who knows that sphere, his help should always be desirably sought. What is the place of a guru, if you ask me? Sri Krishna says, Guru Devata Atma. Guru should be regarded as God. And Guru should equally be regarded as your own soul. Your soul is invisible. Guru is one who has realized the soul, so you can say he is a visible and interactable soul. Whatever you are not able to know, he represents and he will be able to explain. Consider him as God and consider him as your own self. The first expression tells you that if you are given to worship, going to the temple, etc., all this should be outlived and your worship should be focused on the Guru. What is meant by worshipping the Guru? If you go to an idol, Mr. Idol will not tell you, I need food, I need food, I need shelter. No. You have carved the idol, you have evolved the processes of worship, you are undergoing it or pursuing it. No direction comes from the idol. The idol itself is our concept. But when you go to a guru, it is a bilateral relationship. The knowledgeable person as he is, you can go to him, seek knowledge, consult him, discuss with him, but never assume a point of ego or pride. Have sufficient humility and respect for him. There are areas which you may not know. Seek his instruction. Suppose he doesn't know, he will say, I don't know. There is no ego on the part of the Guru. So all kinds of worship, if at all, should be towards the Guru. You can go to any extent of worship so far as Guru is concerned. Ma told me that there was somebody who was doing Satyanarayana Puja in Bengal. But he was doing Satyanarayana Puja, keeping Guru's picture and addressing the Guru. What he did was Satyanarayana Puja addressed to the son. But after getting initiated and becoming a disciple, even his Satyanarayana Puja was addressed to his Guru. Go to a temple if you want, but always say Jaya Guru and worship the Guru there in the idol. So that exclusiveness, if you are able to muster, that will cut short your path considerably. Another point of worship is what the Guru needs, what he says, what his wishes are, try to fulfill them. When I had my contact with the Guru, he became another member of the family. Normally we think of the father, mother, brothers and sisters. Besides them, I started thinking about the Guru also in a relationship. That relationship was not like what people generally have, blood relationship and matrimonial relationship or even friendship. I found that it was a spiritual relationship. Because it is spiritual, it directly touched the heart, mind and soul. Not that I got instruction from him and say, I have got what I wanted. Now I will do what I want. No. He became a part of my life. I started writing to him letters, wanting to see him, requesting him to come to Calcutta so that I can have closer interaction with him. I did not go to my friends or others, but I used to go to the Guru and spend some time with him, listening to him. So there was a fondness, and in that fondness there was joy. And there was also another point. He was always a giver, and I wanted to be a receiver. Then I felt that our Guru should be brought home. He agreed. We brought him home. For months he stayed in our family. He had come more than once. Just see the relationship. It was a living, vibrant relationship. Suppose you give Guru a vibrant relationship, what does it mean? To that extent, your spiritual interest is intensified, it is personified, it has got a concrete shape and form. So apart from mere thoughts, concepts and imaginations, your spirituality has got a vibrant personification. It is something like in a family there is one child, one more child is born. So we spend a lot of time on the additional child and he becomes part of our mind. In the same manner, spirituality does not become a dry and an optional pursuit. It becomes something like a beautiful interactional relationship. If you are able to have a Guru who will occupy your mind and become part of your life, can you imagine how much your spiritual pursuit will be intensified and will become something personified? It is not an impersonal pursuit. I have a Guru, I must see him, I must write to him, I must seek instruction when necessary, I should tell him what my life is, what I propose to do, everything. I had my sannyasa fondness right from the childhood because of Shankaracharya. Leaving the widowed mother, he went, walked all the way to the Narmada bank. What was that wonderful force, inspiration or ideal that made him leave his widowed mother singly at home? So there is something greater than even a relationship with a destitute mother. What is that? So by thinking about Shankara, I found that there is something lofty and spiritual which is greater than the tie of blood. Only because I was thinking of Shankara and his act of renunciation, leaving the widowed mother. So Shankara was not an imagination for me. He was a reality. He was a continuing presence. And whatever he did became more than a model, more than an inspiration. Just see, that sannyasa interest got intensified by virtue of my contact and association with my Baba. I wanted to take up sannyasa, not as a seeker, but I wanted to take up sannyasa with the necessary enlightenment, knowing that sannyasa alone was the fulfilling, crowning fulfillment of life, and I also wanted to have what sannyasins will attain after taking up sannyasa. You can do it as a seeker, you can also do it as a knower. To say that I was a knower will be a little too much, at least for people. But I wanted to take up sannyasa with the necessary enlightenment as to what sannyasa meant, what it is for, what is the outcome, and when does it get fructified or fulfilled. And what was the means for it? Brahma Vidya Sadhana. This is the sadhana I got from my guru. So what a sannyasin is supposed to do and supposed to pursue, I was pursuing already. Naturally, the pursuit must have its reward and fulfillment. I had it. So my taking up sannyasa was very facile. It was not merely a rambling in the world of spirituality. It had its focus. It had its ideal. It had its support, strength and anchor. Suppose I had not met my Baba and I was a seeker of sannyasa and I went to a sannyasin and took up sannyasa, I don't think it would have been like this. Then I started reading the scriptures. From the scriptures I understood this sannyasa is the only way for human life and its finale. So the scriptures become additional gurus. When I read a verse from anywhere, you will find it is not just a verse. It is somebody coming and speaking to me like my guru. Somebody has written the scripture. Suppose he came and spoke to me, when I read the words that he had written in one form or the other, what difference is there? Suppose he came, then also he would have spoken. Now I speak reading his words. So you should understand what is the place of the guru. Guru has got an irreplaceable place. Irreplaceable. It is a question of how you take to it. That contact with the guru is a history of my life, part of my history. And he has given a confirmation, an assurance, an anchor. In the world of spirituality or the field of spirituality, I did not have any doubt, any inquiry, any goal additionally. Everything was simplified and personified by him in him. When he has explained or hinted matters which I wanted to know, I did not require any further proof whatsoever. My personality must have blossomed so beautifully, so radiantly. That is why soon after taking up sannyasa, when I started wandering, on the second or third day, a set of Brahmins in Chelakara joined two benches in their refectory and said, "Swamiji, sit on it and address us." They made an announcement. About 150 to 200 people from that village assembled. I spoke on Bhagavad Gita. I had not perhaps read Bhagavad Gita in full and understood it, but I started speaking. Tell me, what was behind me in taking up that mission and then speak? I did not speak as a pundit or a scholar. I simply obliged their request. And I knew that I had something in me. I call it a grace, call it a potential, or call it something else, by virtue of which I wanted to reveal to people what they should know, understand and imbibe. Right from then on, I was speaking such matters which people would necessarily want to know. And from one platform I said, "I cannot speak what you always want. I cannot always speak what I want. I will have to speak such things which I feel you should know, and I will speak it in such a manner that you will have a fondness, inspiration and compulsion to do. So don't expect me to speak what you want, and I will not speak all that I want. I will speak such things which you should want. In making you feel that it is necessary lies my success." Now this has been the canon the standard for my talk and presentation. Now, all this, according to me, came to me only because of my contact and intimate association with my Guru. Not that he physically and orally taught me many things. No, it was not necessary. I could learn matters myself. So it was a causal relationship, a spiritual relationship, a relationship which belongs to something beyond even cause and effect. That kind of a relationship I had. So the worship of the Guru is to do service to him, participate in whatever he does. And if you can dedicate the whole of your life towards his mission, that becomes the maximum possible worship. So make him a part of your life, give a place for him, have a continuing relationship with him, meet him now and then, write to him, speak to him, and at least intermittently go to him, live in his company. These are something very, very different from merely being a dry seeker. Harihi Om Tatsa. Jai Guru.